This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Green button and let us know who you are.
Hi, I'm Mr. Vandervorst, and I am representing the Newell junior and senior classes that are here for our legislative field trip. So we're really looking forward to see how the process works, and we're glad to be here.
Okay, thank you. We plan not to disappoint. Are there any other students here that need to be introduced? Okay, how about the pages of the day? Would you please come up and tell us who you are, where you're from, and where you're going?
Hi, my name's Quinn Borman. I'm a senior from Parkson High School, and I plan on attending USD.
Hi, I'm Kinsey Schuhart. I'm a senior from Gettysburg High School, and right now I'm awaiting my second phase of military training, and then hopefully plan attend college.
Okay, thank you very much, and welcome. The pages of these two pages are part of the PAGE program. They serve us well here at the Capitol, doing all sorts of menial little chores for us, and even some kind of big time turns for us. Okay, we'll go ahead and have the roll call. Madam Secretary, would you call, please?
Representatives Barthel.
Here.
Schwach.
Here.
Drury.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Hoffman.
Here.
Johnson is excused. Mortensen.
Yep.
Olson is excused. Reed.
Here.
Thomason.
Present.
Weisgram.
Here.
Jameson.
Yep.
And Representative York.
Here.
We do have a quorum.
Thank you. And I'm sure you've all read the minutes from the last meeting. Could I have a motion to
approve? So moved.
Second.
Moved by Reed, seconded by Mortensen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, on we go. Before I call the first bill, I would like to ask you all to quiet down your phones. If you have a phone with you, please put it on vibrate or somehow keep it from disturbing this committee. And with that, we will call our first bill, 1332. Representative Mills.
Good morning, Madam Chair and distinguished members of Local Government Committee. It's good to be in front of you. I'm John Mills. I serve District 4. And I know sometimes we come in front of these committees and we have bills that are all organized and well vetted, and we have a lineup of folks ready to come to the podium and pitch the bill. That's not today. The bill in front of you today is really an introduction. I would say it's a conversation starter. And I'll give you some background. Not that I don't want the bill to pass. I think it has merit. But I do want you to understand what's happened and up to this moment. So the genesis of the bill before you comes from some work related to the Workforce Housing Committee that happened this summer. I served on that committee. And during one meeting in Brookings in the fall, there was a group of folks, leaders, gathered, and at that conversation, housing was a topic, as it is in many of our communities. A realtor who was present in the room said, you know, one of the problems we have is I can't get these folks who have lived for 30 years in these smaller, older homes near the elementary school, we can't get them to move. They're just happy there. They don't have children anymore, but they're pretty content. Some of them tell me they'd like to move, but they're worried about their property taxes. Yeah. You know, if they move, they know their taxes are going to go up because what they move into would cost more. And so there were a lot of heads nodding around the room, and after we left that meeting, I started thinking about it and thought, okay, is there a tool that a community could use that might encourage or incentivize these folks to consider moving? And so what you see in front of you is a bill, an idea, that would allow a community to perhaps provide that incentive. So just talk a little bit about what the bill would do. It would allow a community to say, you know, within these, from this block to this block, set some boundaries and establish a zone to say, you know, okay, here's an area of town where we do have affordable houses. And if we could encourage these folks to move out, maybe some young families would move in and you know, we'd have that benefit of providing that affordable home. And I would just say probably all of us would realize that the most affordable home in any community is going to be an existing home. You can't build it new for the same price. And also, if we can get young families into those homes, they're going to invest in them. They've got the sweat equity, the energy. They've got a few dollars. They're going to be willing to improve those homes. And so that's a benefit to our communities as well. So the bill would allow a city to establish this zone. And then as you walk through the zone, the bill, it talks about that the folks that are there, if they have to have lived there for at least 5 years. So it wouldn't allow anybody to take advantage of this and do a flip. They've got to have been there a while. If they've been there at least 5 years and they moved out, they would take their tax bill, if you would, and it would go into their new home as long as that new home was new construction. So we're trying to increase the amount of housing we have, not just move them into a different house. That doesn't help us open up affordable housing. So if they move into a newly constructed home, they would get to take their tax bill with them for a period of time. They have 5 years would be the minimum, but if they are over 65, they would get an extra 5 years. They'd have that benefit for 10 years. They'd have the assurance that my tax bill is not going to go up. So that's the general idea of the bill. I don't know that if I have anything else to pitch. I'm just thankful for this opportunity. There's never a better opportunity to vet something than when we're all here in Pierre. We've got experts from communities, and so I thank you for this opportunity to talk about this idea and see if it has merit going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. For the benefit of the students and the audience, this is how a bill starts. This is how a law starts. One of the legislators or a constituent of a legislator gets a good idea from something in their community, and they think, this is something that would be a benefit to my community and a benefit to the folks in my community. So then they present it to us, just like he did now. Now, the next step is we'll have testimony. First, we're going to have proponents, those that are in favor of an idea that Representative Otten has brought to us. Are there proponents for this bill? Any proponents? Are there any opponents of this bill? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Wendy Semler. I am the property tax director for the Department of Revenue, and I am in here in opposition of House Bill 1332. This bill would give certain individuals a potentially large reduction in their assessed value when buying a newly built house. So if I own my house currently, is assessed at $150,000, and I choose to sell it and buy a brand new house that is just newly constructed, which will be assessed at $750,000, I will be able to receive a $600,000 valuation exemption for 5 years. Now, to add on to that, there is a possibility that the new house could be on a pristine lot of land in the beautiful Black Hills. If I get the county commissioner's approval for that. Now, the way the bill is written, it says it needs to be in the county, but there's an opportunity, if you petition additional county commission, that they could approve it. To take that hypothetical one step further, that county commission could approve my new home for that reduction, but then if you approach them and ask for the same thing, they could deny your request. So that is not equitable assessment and taxation. In terms of functionality, House Bill 1332 would penalize local taxing districts because I've seen that there's no mechanism in the bill to allow the county, city, school, and other taxing districts to be able to capture the growth of the new construction of the new home. And lastly, we find this bill is unnecessary as it's basically another version of the discretionary formula, which allows counties or cities to pass a five-year discretionary formula for residential properties in a particular area within their district. So with that, I ask you to please vote no on House Bill 1332, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any other opponents?
Good morning, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Nathan Sanderson. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Retailers Association. First, I'd actually like to thank Representative Mills for bringing this idea forward. I mean, I know he was involved with the Housing Summer Study, and as an individual who represents thousands of businesses who are struggling with workforce right now, workforce housing is absolutely a crucial, crucial issue. I mean, workforce is the number one limiting factor inhibiting economic growth in South Dakota right now. I don't even think that's a question. And so any opportunity to talk about some potential solutions, I think, is good. As to the bill itself, however, I don't think that we're quite there yet. I mean, I think even the good representative mentioned that there might be a variety of unintended consequences or areas of this that perhaps need a little bit more fleshing out. Just as a few things to mention, you know, if you aren't able to capture the increase in growth for new construction, then those potential property tax assessments are going to be lower, artificially lower than what they otherwise would be. So you're going to have to shift some of that property tax burden onto some of the other property taxpayers. If we don't shift it onto other property taxpayers, then you're going to have to increase the state's contribution to match the local effort for education funding and a variety of other things. You can think of a whole host of ways that this could potentially be fraudulently used. You know, if you purchase a very inexpensive home within a district, keep it on the rolls for 5 years, move your address to that, and it's your primary residence, but you're actually living in your, you know, McMansion or whatever after 5 years, and you can get your property tax reduction on that. There's just a whole variety of implementation and, I think, practical challenges to this. So, like I say, I think a great conversation starter, not ready for prime time today, and we'd urge you to oppose the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other opponents to this bill? Any other opponents? Representative Mills, would you like to close us out?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would offer a few comments, I guess. You know, first off, this is permissive. No community has to do this. It's just a tool that would be available to communities if they wanted to. Secondly, there was talk about, implications or impacts to the taxes. The idea here is to grow the tax base while providing the benefit to this limited group of people, because that's why they have to go into a new home. We're trying to increase the supply of homes. And so I guess I question that argument that and it is for a limited period of time, 5 years or 10 years. I can't imagine someone being as conniving to say, we're going to go buy this cheap house in this zone, we're going to live there for 5 years, and then we're going to move to a McMansion. I mean, I think I just can't imagine that. That's not the target audience. And I think at any time the community could rescind the zone. Say, it's accomplished what it wanted to, and so we're going to remove that zone, that ordinance that created that zone. So the community's got the tool to take it both directions. Is this something we want to do? Let's do it in this area of town. This is where we have a lot of affordable houses. We can encourage growth. One of the restrictions in here is that the growth had to be in the same county unless you get agreement from another county. And there's been some dialogue with the Realtors Association on this, and that came through them. And they specifically referenced Pierre and Fort Pierre. They said, two different counties, but we operate kind of like one community. So could we have a mechanism so that the two counties could talk to each other and say, yeah, this is a good idea, let's work together on it? So that's why that's here, not this odd idea of, we're going to go out to the Black Hills and build something. That's not what that language is in here for. It's to try to facilitate these adjoining county kinds of situations. So there has been some vetting, like I say, some review with realtors. Also had some review with a local tax equalization person in my district, and they thought this was very workable. It's got their input. They liked the 5 year and the 10 year. He said, I can put that on a schedule that I maintain on for other things already, and it will automatically come off when it's intended to, and the property taxes will go to full and true on the new construction. So I think, Like I said at the very beginning, this is a conversation starter. I like hearing, like we all do, we like to hear the objections, because then we know what do we have to work on. And obviously, I think everybody's trying to figure this one out. So I appreciate you helping me figure it out, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Mills. At this point, we'll open it up to committee questions.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative.
For the prime sponsor, we both served on the summer study, and I really appreciated Representative's expertise. He was contributed some very valuable information and knowledge to that study. Representative, I really actually like your idea, but my questions are the discretionary formula. In the community that you were talking to when you were brainstorming about housing or had the conversation, did that county exercise the discretionary formula?
Madam Chair, thank you. Brookings County is the county that speaking of. They have a discretionary formula, but only for residential lots, new residential lots.
And follow up. So, thank you. So I think to further the conversation, to broaden that, and then I'm not sure if how Department of Revenue would feel about a 10-year discretionary formula, but it kind of eases them into I'm a little concerned about the sticker shock after 5 years, because it will be. And the discretionary formula, if making it equal over 5 or 10 years, that you kind of get eased into it. So I appreciate your work on it, Representative Mills. I think it's it follows your innovative way of pursuing housing. I appreciate your answers. Thank you.
Thank you. Other committee questions? Committee questions for the sponsor? Seeing no questions, we'll go to committee conversation and or action. Representative Jameson.
Just a quick comment. The practice of having a conversation starter is interesting and appreciated in some light of some things are do or die. And this, I think it would almost benefit all of us if we had like an open discussion conversation about, 5 minutes or so within this body, where we just talked about some of those other ideas and things floating around that could maybe be generated into something that would work and pass. I just had to mention that I appreciated the comments from the prime sponsor just as a conversation starter, and not that his whole heart was in this bill. And I just wanted to say that it's kind of neat.
Thank you, Representative Jameson. Other questions?
Yes,
Representative Reed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I also thank the good representative from Brookings County for bringing this. I was involved in the same meeting that the representative spoke about. I might have even called it. I can't remember how we kind of got together on this. And there was a lot of issues brought up and not a lot of solutions. And so to his credit, he brought a solution. I think the issue with this solution has to do with fairness. I recently moved and did what they're trying to accomplish, but I lived in that house for 26 years, and it wasn't taxes. That wasn't the issue why I wanted to move or not. And then when it was time to move, basically doubled in value, taxable value, where I moved to. And I don't know if that's fair that I would have received that discount in the taxes, because it wasn't an enticement for me. It wasn't, that's not the purpose of it. So while this is a great idea, idea of trying to figure out how to do it, it's going to need a lot more work before we can figure it out. And it's something that's been plaguing Brookings for years. Back when I was mayor, we were trying to figure this one out also. So even though I don't think this is ready to go, I really appreciate that the representative brought it forward.
Thank you, Representative. Other questions or comments? Representative?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And I just have to get this out there that not that we want to follow California statutes, but in California, if you continue living in a house, the taxes are frozen. and they don't rise until you sell that home to someone else. So that's an opportunity for an elderly couple to live in a home and not be pushed by all of the development around them. That might be an idea that we could look at in some way, shape, or form. And, I mean, the respect for the representative who brought this, the prime sponsor, having heart and soul and moral character into everything he does, this is going to be a hard one to not vote for, but I probably won't. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Hoffman. Other questions, comments?
Madam Chair.
Representative Drury.
I move to the 41st day.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Representative Drury, seconded by Representative Mortensen, to move this bill to the 41st day. Comments on your motion, Representative Drury?
I will echo what other people said before me. I think it's great that we're trying to think outside the box for some of these solutions, and that's what this is. It's just trying to think outside the box. I will also agree with the prime sponsor that the Black Hills is the most beautiful place to live.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions or comments? I would, too, like to thank Representative Mills for trying to attack this problem that's been plaguing the state for a long time now and getting worse by the minute, and that's of affordable housing. So I applaud you for trying to do something, and maybe if this one has a few bumps in it, maybe they can be ironed out and brought into a different kind of bill. With that, no one has any more comments, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Representatives Barthel.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Drury.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mortensen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Thomason.
Aye.
Weisgram.
Aye.
Jameson.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Madam Chair, 13 yay.
With that, House Bill 1332 goes to the 41st day. And again, for the students in here, the 41st day automatically means the bill is gone because we only meet for 40 days. So, Representative Jameson.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. He was just going to explain that. All right. Our next bill, Senate Bill 138. Good morning, Senator. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. Madam Chairwoman, my fellow legislators, I'm Helene Duhamel, Senator for District 32 in Rapid City, and I ask for favorable consideration of Senate Bill 138, the time of filing referendum petitions, submission to voters required. So, what this is, a petition to refer an ordinance or resolution subject to referendum may be filed with the auditor within 20 days after its publication. The problem is in places where you have many weekly newspapers, and this just simply clarifies the effective date with all the weeklies. It's the last to publish, and then we start counting the 20 days. This was brought by the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. It passed unanimously without dissent in Senate local government, went on the consent calendar, passed without any dissent, and I ask for your favorable consideration. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator. And we'll open it up for proponents. Proponent testimony is open.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Eric Erickson with the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. We think Senator Duhamel did an excellent job of explaining this. Really, with the issue we had is in a few counties where you've got dailies and weeklies, there was ambiguity of when this would take effect, and this just clarifies it to the further extent. So we ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents to this bill? Other proponents. Are there any opponents? Opponents to Senate Bill 138? Seeing none, do you have anything to add to that, Senator? Okay, we'll go right to our committee questions.
Madam Chair.
Representative Drury.
Would you entertain a motion?
I will.
I motion to pass.
Motion's been made for due pass by Representative Drury, seconded by Representative Johnson. Comments on your motion?
No, it's more of a cleanup bill than anything. So I don't see any reason we should oppose it. Thank you.
Okay. Any comments from anyone else? Okay, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Representatives Barthel.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Drury.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mortensen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Thomason.
Aye.
Weisgram.
Aye.
Jameson.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
13 yay.
Your bill passes on.
Madam Chair.
Pardon?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I would suggest that we just put it on consent.
Okay. Everybody agrees? All right. It will be on consent. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Who's going to carry it in caucus?
Okay. Who would like to carry that in caucus? Any volunteers?
I've got
okay. Sounds good. All right. We will call House Bill 1087, Representative Reed.
Good morning, Madam Chair, committee members, Tim Reed, District 7. First, I would like you to, respectfully ask that you move Amendment 1087A to put the bill in the proper form.
Has it been distributed?
Yes, it has.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I would move Amendment 1087A.
Okay, 1087A has been moved. Is there a second? Seconded by Hoffman. All those in favor, any comments on the amendment? Okay. All those in favor of accepting the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Continue, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 1087 is an act to revise certain provisions regarding records that are not open to inspection and copying and deliberations in executive or closed meetings. I think two sessions ago, I worked on a bill that was passed that would allow school boards, local governments, counties to go into executive session to talk about issues that had to do with security. Those issues, you know, and specifically what was being asked when this came about was cybersecurity. The ability for a county commission to go into executive session so they could have a conversation about how to handle cybersecurity. And obviously, you don't want the bad guys to hear what you're talking about. In that discussion, I'll find out there's a lot of different areas that local governments, probably, and especially school boards, may want to go into executive session to talk about, you know, any kind of emergency planning. Anytime there's a threat, excuse me, of a, you know, of an active shooter, they probably want some of those things kept, you know, confidential. So the way we did this, and I worked with the newspaper associations, and I worked with the league, not the National League of Cities, our municipal league, and then also the county officials. And we said, well, why not just point to, it's section 1-25-2, subgrouping 6, because there was listed all of the documents that are what we're talking about, saying that the public can't go access those documents. So we'll just point to it and say, if you're talking about items that, you know, that these types of documents, then you can go into executive session. Okay, and that passed overwhelmingly. Well, what happened was, over the past year, a local government went into executive session to talk about purchasing a new air handling system. And the local newspaper said, now, wait a minute, you know, that's not fair. That's not what we're talking about here. And so it was brought up to the Open Meetings Commission. And the Open Meetings Commission reviewed it and said, well, sorry, in the letter of the, you know, the exact wording that was used in this section, there is enough, I wouldn't say ambiguity, but enough flexibility that you could do that. So what we had planned on doing, in the word that was, that really, that allowed this was, it was Section 8. It was actually Section 8 in 1-27-1.5. I'm sorry, I sent you the wrong code. And so this is actually on page 2, line 16. The line that was there was including, right? That was what was originally in this before I said with the amendment and such. And the Open Meetings Commission said including gives you much more broad ability, and so they were okay going into executive session. So we went down the process of we were just going to change that to specific to. We were going to tighten it up and say it has to be specific to these items that are in here. Well, this section is also used by Department of Public Safety to allow them to keep some documents secure or not in the public eye. And then that took away the broad applicability that they have for it. And so what we ended up doing, that's I'm getting to why we did the amendment, is we switched that back and we kept the documents to including, but we took that whole section of those items that you can use, and we actually added it to 1-25-2. And I'm sorry, I referred to that one wrong last time. 1-25-2 are the reasons you can go into executive or closed meetings. And so we took all of those items that was in that subsection 8, and we added subsection 6 to 1-25-2. And so in that, we stated that discussing information, and this is the point where we are actually pointing to subsection 8, and instead we replace that with pertaining to the protection of public or private property and any person on or within public or private property, and there we put specific to. So basically we took the code from that section 8 and we just lifted it, put it directly in the reasons you can go into executive session, and change it to specific to. And this fixes the ability for the broad ability for a local government entity to go into executive session and just make sure that it's actually they're going into executive session to talk about true security issues. And so this is a little bit of a cleanup bill due to the Open Meetings Commission. And so I would ask for your support of 1087, House Bill 1087. And I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Reed. Are there proponents for this bill? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. David Bordewijk, registered lobbyist, South Dakota Newspaper Association. Appreciate Representative Reed bringing this before you and walking through the explanation of the amendment and making it clear as mud. I hope it's a little bit clearer than that. But I think he made the point we're still trying to just deal with this issue. Original law included the word, had the word including. We want to change it to specific. We're doing that in the open meetings law, and we're not touching what's in the open records law. So that's why we're lifting language out of there and dropping it in the open meetings law. So I'm not any clearer on it either, but I hope you understand. As the good representative said, and you may recall a few weeks ago, the editor for the Black Hills Pioneer Spearfish, Mark Watson, came and testified, because he's the one who brought this complaint to the Open Meetings Commission and ended up with the ruling in 2020 that they said, look, while it says including, that could mean lots of things. And unfortunately, it could. It created sort of what we perceive to be a loophole here in terms of permissiveness of executive sessions discussions. And so that's what led us to work on trying to bring this legislation forward. You know, I went back and listened to the testimony from 2019 when Representative Reed brought the bill to put these provisions in the open meetings law originally. And at that time, the discussion and the intent was to deal with cybersecurity issues. Things of threats, terrorist threats, security plans, guard calendars and jails and so forth. Things that, you know, that I think we all sat around or were in this room at the time said, yeah, that makes sense. That kind of information should be discussed confidentially. Well, you know, as often is the case, the intent of the legislature sometimes doesn't match up with the application of law when it becomes law, and I think that's the case here. So we're just trying to get it back to, I think, what was the intent of the legislature in 2019 when they passed Representative Reed's bill and get it a little bit clearer, a little bit more specific, without making any really significant changes overall to either the open meetings law or the open records law. And I think it's a good step forward, so we would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Other proponent testimony? Is there any opponent testimony? Opponent testimony. Looks like you're in the clear. Would you like to say anything to finish it up? Okay. All right. We'll open it up for committee questions. Any questions?
Madam Chair, can we make a motion?
I'm sorry?
Can we make a motion?
Yep.
Oh, wait. Nope. Never mind.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
I found a typo in this, and I'd like to make a voice amendment that I just discussed with LRC staff. On page 5, line 26, strike the word and. This is I'll make comments if I get a second, I guess. motion. Can I make comments?
Okay.
There's a list that they pulled from 127.1.5 sub 8, and then an additional provision from 127.1.5 sub 17. And just in drafting, they put "and" twice at the in the list. And so this is just a typographical cleanup amendment.
Okay. You have that? Okay. Do we need a motion for... Okay. So noted that that would be changed. Do we need to vote on that? Okay. Okay. You've heard the representative's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. That will be changed. Thank you for being so observant.
Madam Chair.
Now, Representative Olson.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to pass as amended.
Second.
Okay, Representative Olson makes a motion to do pass, seconded by Mortensen. Representative Mortensen, any other comments from the motion maker?
I think it's a good bill. Vote green.
Okay.
I'll just say, so in my mind, and correct me, I mean, the prime sponsor can correct me if I'm wrong, I think that we're keeping the change from including to specific to, which does have a substantive impact to make the ways that we can use executive session a little bit more limited, but I think in keeping with the spirit of why we have executive session, it's not because we're embarrassed about what bidder we're taking, it's because we want public safety concerns to be kept private, and so I think this is a good move for open government in our state, and it's good work by the representative and the guys of the Newspaper Association who dug into the details and I think delivered us a little bit cleaner code.
Okay. We're all for transparency.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Huffman.
I just have to thank you, Madam Chair, that anyone in today's world who thinks that an air handling system should be discussed in executive session is living in the Stone Age. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Okay, are we ready for the vote? Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Representatives Barthel.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Drury.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mortensen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Thomason.
Aye.
Weisgram.
Aye.
Jameson.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
13 yea.
Your bill passes. Would we like to put this on consent? You make the motion? We don't need a motion, do we? On consent. Okay. And Representative Reed, do you want to carry it to caucus? Okay. Any other business to be brought before the committee? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Here we go.